Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music there. Our hope and our trust, our faith, no better place to place it than in the Lord. So praise the Lord for that message of song. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 12. Revelation, chapter 12. We've started a series on just going through the Bible. And the Bible takes us from eternity past all the way through to eternity future. God has preserved it for us that we might know everything that He has for us to know, everything that we can understand about eternity past, going all the way through eternity future. We studied an outline in each one of the books of the Bible. We got to the book of Revelation, started breaking it down. And a couple of thoughts that I've given to you on the book of Revelation is that God has a purpose for revealing what He has revealed. Book of Revelation, it reveals past, present, future. It breaks the future down for us, and it gives us a church age, chapters 2 and 3, and then it tells us what's going to take place after the church age, the rapture of the church, the millennial reign of Christ, and then eternity. It is all right there. And God has written it in a way that He wanted to be written, so that we would have to have the insight of the Holy Spirit of God as well as the insight of the entire Bible to fully understand it. We find that much of the prophecies of the Old Testament are revealed and seen in the book of Revelations concerning the things of the future. And it's just a blessing to see. And of course, we're living here in the church age, and so everything that God predicted that would happen leading up to the church age, it happened. And so if everything that God revealed would come to pass that has already come to pass, then why would we not believe that everything that He continued to reveal for the future will not come to pass? It will come to pass. And Satan would love to blind us to that truth, but it will come to pass. There will be a rapture. Faith allows you to see what the lost cannot see. Amen? They can't see it. They will laugh at it and mock at it because Satan's behind mocking at the things of God and laughing at the things of God. But reality is, everything that God said would come to pass, up to this point, it's come to pass. And the next thing would be the rapture. So God has a purpose for revealing what He has revealed in the way that He has revealed it. Good men differ on some of the interpretations of the book of Revelation. There's a lot of typologies. There's a lot of symbols and all the different things. And there's some things that men will disagree on, and that's all right. I'm not going to argue over those things. As long as we're sound on our doctrine, amen, that's what's most important. And we just believe that every word is according to how God has preserved it. Make sure that we are in agreement that we believe this is the Word of God. Every word, and we're to live by every word. And so praise the Lord for that. So as long as we're not talking about doctrine, we can disagree on certain things and be all right. As long as it's not going to affect my salvation, I trust it's not going to affect yours either. And so we can agree to disagree on some of those interpretations in the book of Revelation. This is a practical study. I'm a practical preacher. Always have been. And I sit in Sunday school this morning. I had Brother Craig Wagner teach for me, and he was going over and making an illustration, talking about all the degrees and everything I had. And I thought, wow, and he actually sits underneath my preaching? I was somewhat humbled by that, thinking, Brother Craig, but there's no one any more down to earth than Brother Craig. But he has all these different degrees and doctorates, I guess, and everything else. And yet, what a humble guy. And it was a blessing this morning in teaching our Sunday morning adult Sunday school. It was a blessing there. But I'm just a practical preacher. I want to make it to where anyone can apply it. I believe that's why we have it. God has revealed it so that we might be able to make the application. Well, chapters 6 through 19, and that's where we're at right now in chapter 12. But chapter 6 through 19, it reveals the tribulation time, the 7-year tribulation time. The church is gone. The earth is still here, but the judgments of the earth are taking place in chapters 6 through 19. The 7 seal judgments lead into 7 trumpet judgments. The 7th trumpet judgment, the 7th trumpet judgment represents the final woe, which will include the 7 last plagues. We haven't got into the 7 last plagues yet. In chapter 11 and verse 15, we found that the 7th angel sounded. That is the 7th trumpet judgment. Okay? Now it's going to go into the bowl of the vials, the last plagues, but this is where we're at tonight. That seventh trumpet sounded, and then the rest of chapter 11, it gives us an overall view of where it all is leading. Talks some about the millennial reign and the end of time. We get into chapters 12 and 13, and 12 and 13 reveal the seven personages. Now, this is just information for us. God, don't try to look at chronological order when you're going through this. Understand that God's revealed it, the way He's revealed it. He injects here the seven personages. The seven personages, the personage is just the persons of distinction. And He actually reveals these seven personages that date all the way back to Israel, Old Testament. And He presents these. Now, we study some of these in the last lesson. I'm getting up to where we're at now. But first of all, in chapter 12, He revealed the woman, which would be Israel, verses 1 and 2. The first personage. And these are all important figures, persons of distinction, for spiritual warfare. What's taking place spiritually on this earth. The battle that Satan is raging against humanity. Israel has always played into that. From the very conception of Israel and God's plan that through Israel, His chosen people, He would bring the Messiah. He revealed the law in the Old Testament to bring mankind to the understanding that we can't live a perfect life. Our righteousness is filthy rags. I cannot be good enough to deserve heaven. Can't do it. So He revealed all that. And the New Testament explains that. But so the first personage is Israel, the woman. The second personage is found in 3 and 4, and that is the red dragon, which is Satan. Because the spiritual battle on earth, Satan attacking Israel. That has continued. The third would be Christ. The third personage would be the child, which as we study this, the child is Christ or Christianity, which would have came some 2,000 years ago with the birth of the Christ child, the Messiah, God becoming flesh. And so very, very important person of distinction, personage, is that child, the Christ child, the man child, verses 5 and 6. And then the next one is where we're going to be preaching and teaching on tonight. The fourth personage is Michael and his angels. And it reveals a spiritual warfare with Satan and all of the demons of hell, which is taking place today. And so that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. So stand with me. We're going to be reading chapter 12, verse 7 down to verse 12. The fourth personage, Michael, and his purpose, the angels of God, the messengers of God, are doing today in battling the demons, the spiritual warfare. The Bible says in verse 7, "And there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil." A red dragon, also called Satan, the serpent, the devil. "And Satan, which deceived the whole world." I've got that underlined. The whole world, not just Christianity, not just those in America, but the whole world, all humanity, all people. "He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they love not their lives unto death. Therefore, rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Wow. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the precious word that you preserved for us. An opportunity tonight to study this passage of Scripture. God, we have need of your insight so that we might be able to learn what you would have us to learn and then make the application. Pray tonight that you'd give us all that spiritual ear to hear what you would have us to receive here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Michael and his angels. These archangel, those that had great power, that God giveth positions over other angels. The angels are created beings. They are created to serve. Angels were not created as humans. They were not created with a physical body. They were not created with a soul. But they were created beings, and they still exist today. They're innumerable, the Bible says. Now, again, we can't fathom that because there's limits to our minds and understanding how they could be more than what we could count or be aware of. But we know that a third part of those actually followed Satan. And so Satan has those demons, those fallen angels at his disposal to do his work on this earth. And he has a kingdom, and his kingdom, he is the king of his kingdom. And they do his bidding, and they follow his character. That's the demons of hell. That's what we're talking about here. This spiritual battle that has taken place, it took place in heaven, and God's revealing this to us. He's revealing it to us because we fight spiritual warfare. And God has given us insight into the spiritual battles that we face every day. This reveals spiritual warfare, which has taken place since the very beginning, but is getting closer and closer now to the end day, closer now than we've ever been. And Satan is going to become even more vicious than what he's ever been before. Cast out into the earth, verse 9 says. He's here. He's been cast out, even though we can't see him. We know that he is very present. Evidence is all around us. You can sense the presence of darkness. You can sense the power of Satan, that darkness, when you get around things that are satanic and you get around things where they're given over to this reprobate mind. There's just a sense of evil. And I tell you, when you start sensing that, you get away from it. Leave that place. If it's in your house, then you better be on your knees before God, praying God would deliver you and your house and whatever it might be, that you would get rid of this type of influence or something that brings it on. There's been yielding to certain things that bring on these powerful influences in our own lives, in our homes. And we have to acknowledge there is spiritual warfare. And if you sense the presence of the devil, he's probably there. And we have to make sure that we get rid of those things that bring his presence into our lives. So he's cast out into the earth. He's here. And the Bible says in verse 12, therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. But look right here. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. God says, you better be careful. You have a battle on your hands that if you don't get a hold of, will devour you, destroy you. Woe to the inhabitants because of the presence of evil. And the Bible goes on to say that the devil's come down to you having great wrath because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. God must have revealed to Satan that you're going to be bound and you're going to be cast into the eternal lake of fire, a place that I prepared for you and your angels. Hell was not prepared for man. Jesus reveals that to us. Prepared for Satan and his angels. And Satan's desire is to take as many of that which God loves with him. God loves humanity. God loves man because he created man in his own likeness after his own image. And Satan's goal, before he is cast into this eternal lake of fire, is to take as many with him as he can take. Amen. And he has great power to be able to do that. So woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, knowing that this is what's taking place. The devil's here, and he is out to take as many people to hell as he possibly can. Wow. A short time. 6,000 years of human history. Going on 7,000 years of human history, but a short time in comparison to eternity. 2,000 years of Christianity. A couple days in God's sight. 1,000 years as a day. A very short time concerning eternity. But as time runs out, his assault on mankind will increase. You know, you're limited. You only have a certain amount of time left. No matter how tired you are, you suck it up and you draw strength knowing that I've just got a little more time to get this done. And you put your all into it because you want to accomplish what you set out to accomplish before time runs out. I think we can all understand that. We can all identify with that. I think one of the best illustrations is football. If the football team would play like they do in the last 2 minutes of the game, it would be a totally different game. Now, there's a reason they don't, because they have to last for the whole entire game. When we get down to the 2 minute warning, they know that, and you tell your wife, 2 minute warning. And she's thinking 2 minutes. And no, probably an hour, but 2 minute warning. And then there couldn't be overtime. They don't understand it. Don't try to explain it. But when they had that 2 minute warning, then they realize, okay, we've got 2 minutes to either come back, make this final drive, get this victory. And so I know you're all tired. And inside the huddle, no doubt they're talking about that. And they're going around slapping each other and giving each other chest bumps and whatever it might be to fire each other up, to get them to just to draw upon whatever energy they have left, to make sure that you give it your all. When this game is over, you better make sure that you have nothing left inside of you. Give it your all. Why? Because it's 2 minutes. And the game, the outcome of this entire game is going to be in the balance. And so that 2 minute warning is given and they go out there and it's unreal how many points are scored in the final 2 minutes. Satan knows. Then the 2 minute call. We're in the final days. The last of the church age. There's going to be even a greater assault, and there is, on possibly the greatest witness that God has had, at least over the last 250 years or so, America. We're seeing the results of Satan's assault on America and on Christianity in America. The message I preached this morning, wow, how important it is for every one of us who know the truth, to tell the truth, speak the truth. Let God work through us to help people to know that there is a God. Before the rapture, Satan is attacking Christianity. The rapture takes place, it's over for him. He can't touch the church. So his main emphasis right now is on Christianity. Have you not noticed that? Even in this so-called, there would have not been a question whether or not this was a Christian nation a few years back. But over the last 20 years or so, Christianity has been attacked more than any other faith, religion, belief. That's not a coincidence. That's because the 2 minute warning has been sounded on the church, a 2 minute warning on Christianity, and Satan has set out to attack and give it his all. And if you're weak, you're going to be devoured. And many of those that just partially believed in Christianity and wanted to add everything else to it, they're being devoured. Now, you can't see Christ in any of what they say. Even though they might even claim to still be Christian, there's nothing Christ-like about where they're at. It's not a coincidence. 2-minute warning has been sounded on attacking Christianity. As we look into the book of Revelation, we see what's going to happen during the tribulation. Satan will attack Israel and the Jews in an all-out war. Very clear, during the tribulation time, it's more about Israel than anything else. The church is taken up. The Gentiles have been the bride of Christ. The church is gone. Israel still remains. And during that time, they will have to come to the realization, we crucified the Messiah. And they'll cry out for the Messiah. For Christ. And so we find here in Revelation, God's revealing this to us so that we might understand these things. As we look around, we can see why America has slowly but surely gone down in her stand for Christ. See why the church has been persecuted even in a so-called Christian nation. Now, 2-minute warning's been sounded. And so he gives us info concerning spiritual battles. The first thing to realize is spiritual battles are real. Has not just been a coincidence. All these things has taken place in an attack on Christianity. And trying to get America to deny that we are a Christian nation. That we are one nation under God. Look at your currency. There was an agreement to put it on our currency. Amen. There was a purpose for putting it on our currency. There was a purpose for having the Bible in government offices. Purpose for understanding the Ten Commandments. Our Constitution was established based on the Ten Commandments. Yeah. It's real. Deception. Look what the Bible says. Which deceiveth the whole world. Every bit of it's come by way of deception. Deceiving the whole world. But right now, the 2-minute warning has been giving on Christianity. It's deceiving the church. Trying to deceive the church to reality. Jesus warned the church. John chapter 14. It's not that we have not been prepared for this. We have the Bible. As long as you're looking at the Bible, you're prepared for it. When you get your eyes off the Bible, you will not be prepared for it. John chapter 14, verse 27. Before he left, he said this. Peace I leave with you. You can have it. Jesus promised it. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. Don't seek your peace from the world. If you look to the world for peace and joy, you're going to be deceived. It might sound good, seem good for a short period of time, but eventually it's not there to help you. Satan is in control of it. He's just drawing you in so that he might devour you. From what you thought was going to give you peace, security, joy, happiness. Yeah. So, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away. But, and come again. Coming back. It'll be the rapture. If you love me, you will rejoice. I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it came to pass, that when it is come to pass, when you start seeing what I've told you is going to happen, you might believe. You might understand it. Oh, I can see Satan working here, and I can see that. That's a result of people being blinded to the truth of the Word of God. I can see that. That's what's happening when they turned away from the Word of God. They turned away from God's help. Now they're looking to, I can see that. That's what he's saying. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you. He knew he was going to be taken. He's going to be crucified. For the prince of this world cometh. Who's the prince of this world? The devil himself. And hath nothing in me. He might appear as an angel of light. He's not an angel of light. It's deception. And the book of Revelation says he's deceived the whole world. And Luke in chapter 22. I'm just telling you what Jesus has already prepared the disciples for this deception. He's preparing the church for this very same deception. In Luke in chapter 22 and verse 31. Peter thought he knew more than God. Thought he knew more than Jesus. Jesus was preparing him, telling him what was going to happen. And Peter said, oh no, that's not going to happen. You're telling the Son of God, after he's told you it's going to happen, you're telling him it's not going to happen. Not much wisdom there. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Satan's putting those thoughts in your mind. He's deceiving you, blinding you to who I am and what I've told you. But he said, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He would remember that once he got back to understanding that Jesus was God and his words are true. And he strengthened the brethren. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians. I'm just saying, spiritual battles. That's what the book of Revelation is revealing to us concerning these spiritual battles. That's the personage that we're looking at. Michael and his angels fighting Satan and his angels. And taking place even today. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. The Bible has very clearly revealed these things to us, to the church. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 4 and verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world. Now the Bible is revealing that Satan is the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air. In whom the God of this small letter G God, he's not God, but whom the God of this world, the world has made him their God, whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He's deceived them, blinded them. We move on over the book of Ephesians, and there's so much more. I'm just kind of hitting some key verses here to help us to realize there's spiritual battles. Ephesians in chapter 6, verse 12, one of the most popular verses, one of the verses that you need to put to mind concerning spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6:12 says this, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's not what we battle, first of all, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Revelation says Satan has been kicked out into this world. This is his domain. He's a prince of this world. He's the god of this world. And woe unto the inhabitants of this world, because he's there to deceive. Against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then 1 Peter. I love 1 Peter helping us to understand these things. 1 Peter chapter 5 breaks it down. I mean, just brings it on a plate that all of us can be able to understand and have part of. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, he says this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, he's the enemy. If Satan can convince you that there's somebody else as your enemy, we'll take our eyes off of him. A Amen. That's what he wants. Who do you think's your enemy? Your husband? Your wife? Your parents? Me? If you wouldn't preach that, my parents wouldn't make me do it. I'm not the enemy. I'm just a messenger. Satan's the enemy. Amen. The Bible tells us that. God says, I want you to be aware of that. The enemy is the devil. The devil, our adversary. He's as that roaring lion walking about. Where is he walking about? On planet Earth. In America. Yeah. Seeking whom he may devour. Seeking whom he may, who will let him. You give Satan whatever power he has in your life. You battle spiritual warfare before you ever fail physically. Before you fail physically, you failed spiritually. And most of the time it's because we're looking at the wrong enemy. As a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith. God says, I've given you my word. That's what you put your faith in. And what the Bible says. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, to make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. It's real. The book of Revelation is revealing to us these seven personages and things that we need to understand. And especially when we come to the personage of Michael and his angels and Satan and his angels and the battle that's taken place, spiritual warfare, very much important. We need to understand this, and God has given it to us to let us know that it's real. And then he gives us a passage of Scripture in closing here, and just looking at this last bit, how Satan is to be defeated. God has given us the way and the only way to defeat the devil and to win those spiritual battles. In verse 11, he says, and they overcame him. You can't overcome him. He's not omnipotent. God is. He's not omniscient. He doesn't know it all. God does. Amen. He's not omnipresent. God is. Even though Satan is not omnipresent, he has an innumerable amount of demons that are all around the world. But we find here the Bible says, and they overcame him first and foremost by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Praise God for the blood. Amen. There have been many churches and even so-called Baptist churches that have changed all the songs they sing because people have been offended by singing about the blood. I want to praise God for the blood. Amen. I want to thank God that throughout the Old Testament there was a purpose for blood sacrifice. Now, understanding the purpose of that and understanding how that it was handled is a blessing to see how it was handled and the importance of that leading up to the ultimate blood sacrifice, which was the blood of the Lamb on Calvary's cross some 2,000 years ago, so that when that sacrifice was made, there would be no need for any other blood sacrifices. It's always the animals. Jesus represents the Lamb of God. He himself became the Lamb. The sacrifice for sins. Praise the Lord for the blood. Amen. There's no other way to be saved outside the blood of Jesus Christ. There had to be a penalty paid, and that was death. And the life was in the blood. There had to be a death, and Jesus became that so that we might live. Don't take it out. Help people understand it. Amen. Don't just eliminate the things you can't understand. You can understand them, or they wouldn't be in the Bible here. Teach people why the blood is so important. Teach people why we need to look to the blood today, because the blood represents salvation. And salvation is how you overcome the devil. Amen. Through the blood of the Lamb. Through the blood of the Lamb that brings to us a new nature. I no longer have only one choice. Before you get saved, you don't understand the spiritual life because you don't have it in you. You're dead to God. You're dead in your trespasses and sins. You have one nature, and that's a human nature that was received from the sin, and Satan's nature became our human nature. Because of Adam's sin, that sin has passed down to every man, woman, at birth. We're descendants of Adam. And we have had passed down to us the sinful nature. Don't let the philosophers of the world tell you that really if you look deep enough, there's good in everyone. No, the deeper you look, the worse we are. The more rotten it is. Amen. It's not that we are good in and of ourselves. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. But when you receive Jesus Christ, you have His righteousness imputed into us. And we have His righteousness. Now we have a choice. Still a battle there, that spiritual battle. But the more you feed that new nature, the more it is strengthened and it grows. And you start sinning less and less. And you start receiving the strength to do what's right. The spiritual help to live and to accomplish what God would have us to accomplish. The Christian life, what a blessing it is. But it comes from the blood of the Lamb. Ephesians helps us understand that. Look over there with me. Ephesians in chapter 1. And I'm not going to be much longer, but I want you to get this. What a blessing it is. We have this insight from the book of Revelation. In this fourth personage, the spiritual battles. Ephesians in chapter 1. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. If you're in Christ, you can do all things through Christ. If you're not in Christ, you can't go through Christ. But if you're in Christ, you have this available to you. And verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Sure glad that God's put the blood in the Bible, amen? Helps us understand the importance of it. Because redemption is through the blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Look down to verse 13. In whom ye also trusted that after ye heard the word of truth. You have to hear the word of truth and then believe it and receive it. The gospel of your salvation. The gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. In whom also after that you believed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You have God in you. Where'd that come from? Through the blood? Through salvation? Amen. You've been sealed into the with the Holy Spirit of promise. In chapter 2 and verse 1. And you hath He quickened. That word quickened means been made alive. Before that, who were dead in trespasses and sins. How do you overcome the devil? First of all, by the blood. Don't lose sight of the blood. Salvation. And then once you have it, don't lose sight of what the blood brings. The indwelling of the very presence of God. They also use the word of their testimony. They overcame them by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. Their testimony was that they lived according to the word of God. When you live according to the word of God, you have a testimony that you can overcome the devil. Amen. The word of their testimony. I believe God. It's going to be just as God said. I believe God. We preached on that this morning. Amen. Our faith. Believing in what God says. The world needs to hear us say, I believe God. Satan wants to dumb down America concerning Christianity, and he has quieted the mouths of Christians. I believe God. Their testimony was that they lived according to the Word of God. They lived to represent Christ. If you look to represent Christ being the light of the world and the salt of the earth, listen to me, Satan will not have power over you. He has power over you when you turn from light and you turn to darkness. When you let Satan blind you to the light and get you to live in darkness where there's no fellowship with God. Spiritual battles, the word of their testimony. And lastly, and they love not their lives unto death. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, we shared that with you this morning, those believers that are in the hall of faith in chapter 11, they died in faith. They died believing the truth. They never gave up on the truth. They knew it was coming. They could see it in the future. And they died believing it was to come to pass because God said it would come to pass. They loved not their lives. That means that they were more concerned about the will of God than their will. They would say, it's not about me. It's not about me. It's not about what I want. God, it's about you. Not my will, but thine. Living in the Spirit will keep us from being devoured in the flesh. Galatians 5:16 says this. Let me just read it to you. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's not about what my flesh desires. It's going to desire a lot of things. And if I yield to that flesh, then I'm going to be devoured by the flesh. Satan will work through the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Pride of life. My will. It's about my will, God, not yours. It's what I want. You're going to be devoured. And you say, God, it's not about what I want. Because my vision is limited. What I know about tomorrow is limited. What I know what's going to take place a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, it's limited. You see all the way through eternity. It's not about what I see. It's about what you see for me. And they love not their lives unto death. Spiritual warfare is taking place. It's getting harder to live for Christ. And it will even get harder, because there will become less and less who truly want to live by the Word of God, because they'll be more and more deceived. And apostasy, as the Bible says, will increase. Those are the signs of the last days before the rapture of the church. How do we overcome? By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. That's what God has for us. Let's continue to do that until the rapture comes. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. This fourth personage, the archangel. The archangel. Wow. There's more going on than what we realize. There's more going on in your life. There's more going on in your marriage. There's more going on in your family. There's more going on in your child's life. There's more going on in this church. There's more going on in this world than what we can see. Very important that we win the spiritual battles so that Satan is not able to devour us in the flesh. Father, we love you. Thankful, Lord God, for the truth of your word, because that's what reveals it to us. And I pray tonight, God, that each one would receive what you had for them tonight, and that you would strengthen us, that we would be able to overcome and not be deceived as Satan would love to deceive the whole world. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.